What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
Oh, and me. That makes two voiceover girls.
Okay, when you have two voiceover girls, separated by one pond and two perspectives.
I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen as Rami and Jessica share their journey into the voiceover industry.
Hi, welcome to the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. I'm Rami Santosh. So today we're going to be having a chat with Marwa Khalil, who is an Egyptian voiceover artist. So I'm looking forward to hearing all about Marwa's experiences. So over to you, Jessica.
Thank you for joining us. And first of all, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your VO journey?
About me, my name is Marwa Khalil. I'm 37 years old. I've been working as a voiceover artist for about 2 years. I'm based in Cairo, Egypt. I'm Egyptian. About my voiceover journey, it started practically 2 years ago. But there were like few steps taken maybe 14 years ago that led to where I am. Like 14 years ago, after graduation, I worked as an engineer for 1 month. And I couldn't stand it anymore. I just resigned in the second month. Even it was very good company, very good working hours, very good salary, you know, everything was just right, except that I didn't like the job. So, yeah, because, you know, I don't like the kind of work which is has a certain routine, repeating the same tasks every day. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with such hard things like machines, designs, some applications, because I was a planning engineer. So that was, I didn't like that. I wanted a job that is dynamic and creative and related to art somehow. Even I had no idea at that time about voiceover or what career I want to be in. But I know that I would love to try some things, and I tried a lot. Maybe one of them was the media field. My husband tried to help me with that. So he passed by an advertisement about some diplomas and courses about some media stuff at one center in the American University of Cairo. So he told me, why not to try? Maybe you find something you love. I went there and I attended course. It was called voice coaching. Even I didn't know anything about voiceover. And it wasn't voiceover. It was about reading news, doing reports and stuff like that. By the end of that training, my mentor said that I was so passionate and dedicated, and she thought that I loved that thing. So she decided to try to help. So she asked me if I want to go on a training as a reporter on one of the talk show TV programs at that time. I said yes, and I was super excited about it. And I did that training. It was amazing days. I loved it so much. And to keep it short, after a while, I just stopped searching for my dream job because I had my three little kids. They were so young, you know, one after the other. They needed all my time. I was like completely immersed in that new role as a parent, and I'm trying to learn how to be a good parent, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like full-time stay-at-home mother. Then we all followed my husband and lived in a foreign country for about 5 years. After a while, when the kids became more independent and I started to have the time for myself, and the desire to find my passion came back again. And my husband also supported me with that and tried to help me with that. I think he believes in my talent, and he believes that I can do something different. So he helped me to start over again. He suggested me. By the way, he likes to listen podcasts a lot, to listen to audiobooks, all that kind of stuff on his way to job, coming back in the car. Every time he would love to listen to all these. So he suggested me to do a podcast about parenting because I was reading a lot about parenting and doing some briefs, write them on my social media platforms and stuff like that. So he bought me my first microphone and suggested me to do that podcast. And I loved it, and I started doing that podcast. And after that, he said, why not to try doing audiobooks and to ask about it? Frankly, I have no idea about that job. I don't know anyone who's working in that field, but it was one friend of mine who was a colleague at the college. She was called Iman, and she's working in that career, and she's the only one I know. I talked to her to ask her about audiobooks. So she was so generous, and she told me everything she knew about every single detail she knows. And by the end of the call, she said that there is an educational platform for voiceovers launching in Egypt these days. Just check it out. And she sent me the link, and she told me about voiceover, and this was my first time to know that this is a profession, you know. I sent a message for the territory controller at that time. He was Nadim Khaled, and asked him for a private course. Then he told me, why not to join a Grave for the Brain platform? I said, no, I don't want to join platforms. I just want course to see if I'm going to be a good fit for that job or not. I'm not even sure. Mm-hmm. So he tried to convince me to start with Gravy for the Brain, and that everything I need, I will find there. So I started there. I talked to my husband about it, and he said, just try 1 month and let's see. If you like it, then go on. If not, it's okay. I tried for 1 month and I'm still there since then.
All of us. We all start off with 1 month and we all stay.
Yeah. No, I was lucky actually to start in that place, and I got to know a really amazing people there, and you're one of those.
I found too. Up. I stumble upon Gravy for the Brain and I'm like not expecting much, because quite frankly, the name is pretty silly. And I was really pleasantly surprised, you know.
Yeah, right. You find everything you need actually, yes. And I had no idea what I will get. It's an educational platform about something I have no idea about, you know. Mm. So but surprisingly I loved it a lot, and I continued for about 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. I tried to keep it short because it's a long story, actually.
I know, I can understand. After joining Grave for the Brain, how easy was it for you to find work? Because I can see that you're very busy as a voiceover artist. What was the process for you getting work?
I've got my first spot booked after about 4 to 6 months after starting to train and to learn about voiceover. Mm. Actually, I did something which is abnormal. I was like, in those 4 months, I was working like about from 9 to 12 hours daily, just studying and learning and reading and doing all that kind of stuff. I just get immersed into it and I'm not out. And sometimes I joined 2 days without sleeping. Even my daughter said, Mommy, you went there and you didn't come back, you know. Yeah. So I think that cut for me, I took a shortcut or something.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why
I'll
maybe.
Track.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was like, my kids became somehow independent and I have a lot of time. Also, I was in a foreign country, so I'm not visiting my family. I have no other thing to do, you know. So I had that kind of time, and my husband was supporting and was trying to help as much as he can. So I had that opportunity. But when I came back to Egypt, it became more different because, yeah, it's such busy kind of life here.
Mm. But in terms of actually finding the work, what's been your process? I'm just curious to know how it works in Egypt.
I think that maybe the same, because I'm following the guide of Grave for the Brain in deciding my prices. So I think they are almost the same. Yeah, there are some markets that there are so much difference in the prices, and they are working with very low rates. But you decide it, you know, you decide which market you want to get into. Yeah.
And do you have like an agent, or do you join Play to Plays, or do you just call people directly? I'm just curious to know how you're finding work.
Yeah, I'm doing three of them. I try to market myself through my social media platforms and try to do some creative work that's related to me, because I really enjoy doing this and it's working. Some people are like, saw something or passed by something and just called me. We saw something like that and that, and we need you to work with us. Yeah. Mm. And the second thing is, yes, I do have an agent. He's not exclusively, but I'm working through him a lot. I have accounts on pay-to-play websites. I'm auditioning every day, you know.
Yeah, are they Egyptian websites specifically, or just general ones?
No, unfortunately, there's no... I don't know Egyptian websites that are pay-to-play websites. I'm on like Voices, Voice 123, Bunny Studio, all that, all those websites. Maybe there's an Arabic for Arabic talents websites like Panda and Sound Deals and stuff like that. But I didn't work through them ever. I just worked through the others. Yeah. And surprisingly, I'm working outside Egypt way more than inside Egypt. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yes.
Yeah, even in Arabic.
Yeah. No, I was curious to understand that background as well. So I'd like to ask you a little bit about how you identify yourself as a voiceover artist. So, for example, I usually just say I'm a British female voiceover artist. That's my identity.
Maybe the key aspect of my identity as a voiceover artist is related to my slogan I chose for myself, which is a talent to rely on. It's just like something related to my personality somehow. I'm a reliable person and I have some commitment and reliability because I used to be responsible for a lot of things since I was a little kid, you know.
Brilliant.
You just can, yeah, you can rely on me and trust me. I won't let you down as long as I can.
Sure. Very nice.
Maybe also I'm trying to offer like a smooth and delightful experience and that I learned from Gravy for the Brain also.
Would you say being, for example, a female, being Egyptian, they're important aspects of your identity as well? Or do you not bother talking about those in your social media or when you're marketing yourself?
Yeah, sometimes it's relevant to the topic itself. Sometimes I mention that I am Egyptian and sometimes you're just doing, you know, there are two kinds of Arabic, some Egyptian Arabic and modern standard Arabic, which is used in all over the Arab world. So sometimes you're marketing yourself that you're doing MSA, Modern Standard Arabic, so you're doing that kind of general Arabic. And sometimes you are marketing yourself as an Egyptian, so you can do that kind of accent. And I do also English voiceover, but for like, what that called, other accent. Sometimes they need like English with a slight Egyptian accent or a slight Arabic accent, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so it's really dependent on the environment or the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
What the situation demands. Yes.
Yeah,
flexible
absolutely.
Identity. I like that. So I was just wondering how you feel about the voiceover industry. You've obviously been in it for a few years now. In terms of diversity and inclusion, it might be in the wider voiceover industry abroad or maybe more local to you.
This is my hard question, actually. I think voiceover is one of the industries that can be including everyone. And it has a lot of diversity. And I think also the internet made it much easier, connected the world and made it like a small village. You can fly around the world while in your booth with a microphone and just an internet connection. And that's all. I think also all kinds of voices are covered and required and can be included. Even if you live in a place where like the studios are far away, you can have your own home studio and do voiceovers. If you're young, if you're old, all those are included, I think. Maybe, I think there's always a project that matches your voice and all you are evaluated for is your voice because they can't see you so they can't see how you look or what's your background or anything. But maybe sometimes I feel like some clients put some boxes for the gender thing that females should do that kind of calm and soft and the things related to babies and household stuff should be females. And the things which need like a deep voice and a masterful or authoritative voice, they are looking for that kind of alpha male and harsh voices. So they are looking for a male voice. So I think this is an observation. I don't know if it's true or not, but this boxing is against diversity. And I think this this is changing over time. I don't know if you agree with me or not.
I've seen observation. That in some of the areas where they're typically male dominated, things like promos and movie trailers and things like that, you're starting to see a lot more female voices. And it doesn't seem like it's always by accident. There's plenty of times that it's by design. They're actually looking for a female voice. And instead of just, we found this cool female voice we were looking for.
That's why I'm saying that it's changing over
time. Slowly.
I think,
I agree.
And that's good.
And I think sometimes, like, for example, commercials, you might find a male voice selling a female product. Mm-hmm. But just slowly it's happening. So which is quite
interesting. Not too
much. Yeah. Not too much yet, but just occasionally there's a little bit of opening.
It's happening.
But yes. I agree. I do understand what you mean, that there's still a male-female type.
Very siloed. Okay, so then do you have advice for someone starting in VO as it relates to diversity, inclusion, that sort of thing, or even general advice?
Well, for people starting in voiceover career, I think maybe my first and always advice is learning and training and practicing all the time because you look like the football players or the sports players. You have to be fit all the time so you can play whenever you need. That's very important. And also, this helps you a lot to have that kind of diversity in your own delivery of voice so you can be considered for different diverse projects. I think also finding someone who can guide you with a map to where you want to go. So he or she should be someone who like went to similar destinations so he can help you reach there. And that's what I found at Gravy for the Brain, actually. Always push your borders and challenge yourself. You will be like surprised and amazed by what you can do. I feel like I myself, when I started, I was like, I'm not doing commercials anyway. you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not kind of person who's going to do any commercials. But when I decided to try and I practiced it a lot, it's my favorite right now. It's my favorite. Yes. So yeah, yes. Push your borders and challenge yourself. You will be amazed.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you would change in the voiceover industry?
Yeah, maybe just kind of unboxing those.
That thing.
Yeah. Giving that opportunity for everyone so we can see who is the good fit for that project, even if he's male, female, old or young or whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Just the one who can fit in.
And are there cultural differences? Because obviously you work locally as well as abroad internationally, so that's quite amazing. Are there cultural differences or any type of differences between the local industry and the international industry?
There are some differences because the markets are different all the way.
Yes.
So yeah, I feel maybe the way you're searching for your job or the way you're dealing with your client is somehow different. Actually, the most challenging thing for working abroad is to have a good time for you and the client at the same time, because there is time zone difference in the time zone. you will be recording at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. because those differences. Mostly when I'm working locally in Egypt, I need the clients mostly like you to come to the studio, and they are there to guide you lively. They don't like Zoom and that kind of stuff. Yeah, maybe abroad it's different. They all love to attend via Zoom, or sometimes they have a copy and then they revise it and come back to you through email and that kind of stuff. So it's some technicals, but the whole process, I think it's the same.
So almost the same. You're finding your local work is more of they're having you go into a studio rather than work from your home studio?
Yeah, mostly they like to be there and to attend the session lively.
Nice. I guess that leads me to another question then. So where you're at, and are you in a major metropolitan area or are you in a more rural area?
Yeah, I'm in the capital, so I'm in Cairo.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of studios out there. Yeah, and there's a lot of options. So that's very easy, Yanni. So.
And are there lots of other? Is there a lot of competition in Egypt? Is it a very big industry?
Yeah, it is on some scale, but maybe you know what? It's something like, I'll talk about the commercials especially. Something like closed market somehow. So for you to get in takes some time and effort, because like the creative directors and the directors and the producers are used to certain voices and they are always not thinking to try a new one. They are just going to someone who they know and they worked with. So that makes it more like closer, and you need to do a lot of effort that the other people would be willing to try to work with you and to build your like client list.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true, I think.
Oh, very challenging, actually.
Wow. It's been really fascinating listening to you.
Yeah,
you know,
thank
you
so much.
It's just like, obviously, it's quite different to a very different location and everything. So really, really fascinating for me to try and understand how you work and everything. So it's been really interesting for me, I'm sure, for you, Jessica.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm so glad to be with you. Actually, I am fascinated with you, with your work. Yeah. And I love your podcast so much, actually. It's amazing and nice one. And yeah, close to the heart. And I love it so much.
Thank you so much, Marwa. We really appreciated your sharing of your experiences and insights. It's been a fascinating episode for me. I think your comment about being boxed or pigeonholed in certain areas of voiceover was an interesting one. But as we discussed, that we are kind of moving on and perhaps more diversity is coming through in those sort of areas. I believe that your hard work and determination are really paying off and you're seeing the benefits of that. I really wish you all the best. It has been lovely speaking to you and really quite inspiring. So thank you.
Yes.
And look forward to the next one.
So don't forget to like, subscribe, and share our podcast with your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, complete strangers. Share it with everyone. And if you're interested in joining our Facebook group, you can find us there at facebook.com/groups/voiceovergirlsacrossthepond. Until next time, bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us for the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Rami, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.